You might not be able to see me right now, but one day when Jesus appears in the eastern sky, look up. That's where we'll be. Amen. Somebody said seen. Amen. I'll go with it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Watch this right here. I live. John 10:10. It says, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. That never changes. The devil never, ever, ever changes his format. I don't care how fun it is. I don't care how awesome it feels. I don't care if you get off in sin and you look around and go, man, they were wrong. The preacher was wrong. My mom and daddy were wrong. They were wrong. Man, this is the time of my life. Sin for a season seems good. Seems for a season good. But I hate to tell you this, there are four seasons in a year, four seasons in a life, and you might get one good season out of sin, but you're going to have to live those three in payment. Amen? You're going to have to live those three other seasons in the payment of your sin. For the wages of sin is death. I hope you get that. The thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, but I have come. Whew. In that same verse, he says, but I am come to give you life and life more abundantly. Life, but life to the full. Amen. I didn't even know that I wasn't living until I started looking into my salvation. I didn't even know that I was dead. I was a dead man walking. I did not know that God had a calling and a purpose for my life, and I was made and I was designed. See, I had given everything to the world. Anybody? Hey, look up here at me. It's one Easter Sunday. Y'all hold on. Has anybody in here gave all their gifts, talents, strengths, and abilities to the world instead of God? I hate to tell you, when you run out, the world won't have nothing to do with you. When you run out of it, the world's going to be like, bring me another one. Amen? But you know what the good thing about Jesus is? He's got this calling and this gift and this love for you. I'm going to preach to you just for a second, Ed. You know what? He will take you and he will use every gift, talent you got, usually your weakness more than your strength, and he will glorify himself through that. And let me tell you something, friend, when you get down to the end of your life and you can't do nothing, whew, Charlie, when you can't do anything, Donnie, when you can't do nothing, amen, when you can't do a thing for God, you know what God says? I still love you. I still want you. I still need you. I'm still just as big in your life when you can't do nothing for me as you were when you could do it all. I don't know why y'all never shout. Because this world says, if you can't give me, you're no use to me. God says, when you run out of the good of you, then guess what? Then the good of me gets better and better and better. Good God. I wish I had one person in here who's been through life enough to know when I ran out of everything, when I didn't have nothing, when I was sitting there scared out of my mind thinking, man, the world is over, God showed up and said, I'm still here. I still love you. I'm just as much with you now as I was when you met me. Man, that's my God. Amen. That's my Savior. I don't have a God that gets me just through the good times. I don't have a God who just gets me through the bad times. I have a God who walks with me and talks with me and carries me through my whole life. And then when I can't make it any further, and we draw our last breath. And y'all have seen this. When we draw in our last breath, and we go, God, I've got to give up the ghost. Jesus says, I've been there. I just read that yesterday. Jesus was hanging on the cross, and he said, it's finished. And he breathed out. You know, when he breathed out his last breath, he meant, you know what? One day you'll draw your last breath, and when you do, guess what? I'll meet you. Not an angel, not a spirit, not this, not that. When you draw your last breath, your Savior will say, I've been looking for you. I've been waiting for you. Some of you have had loved ones pass on. You have sat here and go, I watched somebody die, and I've been a little aggravated with God. I wish somebody in here would say amen. I've got somebody in my life. When they passed, I got mad at God. I did. I got angry with God, and I was sitting there going, God, why did you do that? Boy, if you could see them today. If you could, y'all just sit there all calm and cool like a cucumber. Just sit there like you always do at church. But praise God, let me tell you something. If you could get one glimpse off into heaven, they would say, come over here. Come over here. I ain't coming back there. Come over here. It's good over here. I didn't even know, amen? I didn't even know that I wasn't living till I got Jesus. You won't even know you're living. Some of y'all are sitting here going, what's it like to be a Christian? Don't listen to no watered-down church-goer who ain't excited about their faith, who talks about church lightly. Talk to somebody who loves Jesus and has walked with him through the thick and the thin. Talk to them kind of people, because guess what? I love it, amen? I've never laughed any harder. I've never had more fun. I've never had anything in my life like Jesus. I've got family. I've got friends, I've got deep relationships, I've got forgiveness, I've got a peace about me that passes all understanding that I never had. I can walk through life and through death in Christ Jesus. Well, if you ain't got that, run up here. There's an altar for you. Just come and say, God, I want that. I'm tired of living on the scraps of life. Some of y'all been in church so long, when God starts drawing on you, you sit there and think, man, I've got to wait another 30 minutes before I go. Praise God, stop that. We didn't come to keep it in order. We came to get a hold of Jesus. It'd look good for some of you to mess you up your Sunday clothes. Some of y'all look so good, I don't even know who you are. Some of you walked in here, I'm like, man, we got a visiting pastor, an evangelist. Praise God, you scared me to death. Amen? If God gets on you, run past somebody, get in this altar, wrinkle up them old, these things press out pretty easy. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. 2 Corinthians 5:17, nevertheless, amen? What's this right here? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a old things of, all things have become. Ooh, is that going on? Y'all do that pretty good. Some of y'all must have studied your Bible. Therefore, if you are a new creature, amen? Amen? If you are a new creature, guess what? When you got saved, something happened. There's a new person moved in on the inside, amen? There's a still small voice in your mind, in your spirit, who says stuff totally different than you used to say it. Amen? Instead of saying, go to sleep, it says, get up and pray. Instead of saying, hey, read this, watch the internet, do that, it says, read your Bible. So instead of going and doing whatever you want to do on this weekend, it says, why don't you go get a little time with Jesus? Amen? Some of y'all say, you're just pushing church. No, I'm not pushing church. I'm telling you this. Get around people who love Jesus like you love Jesus. Iron sharpens iron. Come in here and get sharpened up and go back out there and have a good week in the Lord Jesus Christ instead of sitting around another weekend all at home, all alone, wondering why God ain't working in your life. The reason he's not working in is your life, because guess what? You only want part-time Jesus. Somebody come pray with him. Amen? Somebody. All things have become new. All things have become new. The old things have passed away. Have the old things passed away? Have the old things passed away? I love when it says passed away. You know what that refers to when you say somebody passed away? That means that old man died. And then all things have become new. You said, hey, preacher, can I ask you a question? Did everything become new when you got saved? It started to. Amen. I'm in a constant construction mode. Amen. Every time God fixes something, he sets up another start construction area. The signs go up right down the road and it says, construction has begun, and on this date, it might end. Amen. And then I go, all right, praise God. And when God gets done with that, he goes on to another area and says, construction will begin here. Amen. Old things are passing away. Old things are dying. Do you still love what you used to love? Are you still chasing what you used to chase? Or is there something else? Or is there something else? Amen? Is there something else in your life Amen? Is there something else that you're chasing? I live by faith and not by sight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Amen? Hebrews 11, chapter verse 1. It says this right here. I love this right here. It says, I live by faith. Amen? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance. We don't live by our sight. We don't live by our feelings. You know what we live by? We live by faith. Are you living by faith now? Has Christ come into your heart and your life and you're saying, I'm not pushed around by my feelings, my want-tos or desires. I'm being led by what I believe and I know of Christ, and that's more important to me than anything else on the face of the planet. We live by faith and not by sight. So many church folks say stuff like this. Well, I feel like. Well, I think it's this way. I don't care how you think. And I really don't care how you feel. It matters what this book says. It matters what the Spirit of God says. Amen? It doesn't matter. When believers get saved, we stop being wishy-washy on sin. We stop being wishy-washy on our friends and our family. We stop saying stuff like, well, that's okay, and this is all right, and well, they do this, but this is why, and we can be, guess what? When God gets saved, we do. When God saves you and you're living by faith, here's what you say. That's right, and that's wrong. Amen? That's right. And that's wrong. That's good. That's bad. That's evil. That's good. And you don't apologize. You don't back up. You don't quit. You don't sit here and go, well, all my friends think it's okay. All my family think it's okay. Listen, it doesn't matter what they think. If the Word of God says it's right, it's right. And if it says it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. We don't live in a world where if I live by my sight instead of my faith, I would look out into a world right now and go, we are lost. We are undone. There's no hope. That's what my eyes tell me. But every time I hear that the world is doing something, the Spirit of God wells up in me and says, greater that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm doing a work too. Amen? I'm doing a work too. The problem is, see, the world loves bad news. God loves good news. Amen? There are people all across this country and across this world that are getting saved and born again and radically changed by Jesus. Jesus is kicking out old spirits and bringing in new spirits. He's doing a new thing. And praise God, we're all sitting here going, well, is it really happening? It is happening. And praise God, you know what you need to do? By faith, you need to turn into Christ and turn out of the world. Turn out of Christ and turn into the world. Watch this right here, verse. The back end of this verse, I want you to get it. 2 verse 20, I've turned all the way over. By faith of the Son of God who loved me. Loved me. The Scriptures tells us Jesus loved us in one big way. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So why didn't, the Bible don't tell us that Jesus loved us that way. It does. See, I want you to know this. There's not a person in here who's been born, who came into this world, who is okay with God, minus Jesus. Not one person. There's not a person who can say, I've always been good with God. No, you haven't. You were born a sinner. You have broken the commandments of God. You are lost and undone. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God allows us to know by the Scriptures that we all stand in need of what He did at Calvary. That's love. That's love. That's when you love somebody, you look at them and you say, listen, you are dying spiritually. Physically, you are alive. Some of y'all are half alive. Spiritually, you are dead. And if you do not get born again before you draw your last breath, you will go into eternity in a place called hell. Nicodemus was one of the most religious people you would ever meet. He prayed more than you. He attended temple more than you. He read the scripture and knew them better than you. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a religious elite. He dressed more modest than you. He talked more modest than you. He did things that would make you feel like you're a heathen. But one day, he walked up to Jesus in the middle of the night, knocked on Jesus' door, said something like this: "We know you are a teacher come from God." Some of y'all have got the wrong title on God. "We know that you're a teacher come from God." He was a teacher come from God. He was a prophet. He was a good man. He was a good healer. But the number one thing that he was: Savior, Son of God, Messiah. He looked dead at him and said this, the same thing I'm going to say to you. He said, "You have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must be born again." What he was saying is, you have to be born of a mother, and you have to be born of the Spirit. If you've never been spiritually birthed, when you die, God will look you dead in the eye, Jesus will, and say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Those are the worst words that will ever be spoken in history to an individual. And you're sitting here on Easter Sunday. God's brought you here. There ain't no mistake. There ain't no happenstance. He brought you here to this church this day for this service for me to tell you. You need to come to him and ask him, "Jesus, I need you to forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life. I want to be born again." Some of y'all do this really good. You come here, you dress up. You come here, you show up. You come here and you put on and put on and put on, but you're really not born again. You're not saved. Because guess what? When you get saved, when you do, your wife's going to have an issue with you. Your husband's going to have an issue with you. Your kids are going to have an issue with you, because they're going to look at you and go, "Who are you? Who is this guy? Who is this woman? Who is this person?" Because you'll start to do things and say things and operate in certain ways that they've never seen before. Is that going on in your life? I hope it is. I hope you're not just coming to church to mark the old calendar off that you made it into a Sunday service or an Easter service. I hope by the end of your life that you know without a shadow of a doubt, "Hey, I went up there to that church, and guess what I did? I walked up to an old altar and asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life." I'm going to read this one last time, and I'm going to tell you. "I am crucified." Anthony, come on. Just start playing softly on the guitar, please. Just play softly. "Amazing Grace," whatever. "I am crucified with Christ." Let's all stand. "I am crucified with Christ." Are you? "Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I." Is there a new operation going on in your life? "But Christ liveth in me." Has God moved on the inside of your life? "The life I which now live in the flesh, I live by faith." Are you living by faith, or are you being pushed around by your flesh? "By the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The last thing I want to tell you this morning is Jesus died for you. He died for you that you might live for him. Have you accepted what Jesus did at Calvary? Have you asked Jesus to receive the free gift of salvation? If you have not, while we play softly, please step out of your row, out of your pew. If you're in the middle, if you're on the end, step out and come up here and ask Jesus. I don't care what your husband might think, your wife might think, your friends might think. I don't care what this church might think of you. "I've been there for years. They won't believe somebody like me got saved." Oh, yes, they will. Yes, when you tell them, When you tell them I was pretending, yes, I was just going through the motions. Step out. Step out by faith. Every head bowed, every eye closed.